The Apostle Peter, as he closes out this little epistle, addresses two admonitions to the people of God. Those admonitions are admonitions that I pray that will be heeded both by Alyssa and by Tyrone and our entire church, but especially by Alyssa and Tyrone as they begin now to prepare to leave home and to go to college. And they begin to, you adults know what I'm talking about. They're going to begin now to spread their wings of independence. That's right. They've got wings that they're going to spread. And they're going to begin to spread those wings of independence. And Tyrone and Alyssa, I'd like to say some things this morning. And maybe this message is just for you, but that's all right. I'd like to say some things this morning that maybe God can touch your heart and you can carry with you as you spread those wings of independence and go your way. First of all, about the need to be a steadfast Christian. You see, verse 17, the Apostle Peter was very much concerned that God's people would not fall from their own steadfastness. Remember, we talked about that last Sunday morning, but verse 17 in particular, notice what it says. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing as ye know these things before. Well, what things did they know? Well, they knew that there were people in the world, as verse 16 says, who wrestle with the Word of God to their own destruction. And so as we realize that there are people like that in this world, Peter is saying you need to take heed. You need to be careful. You need to be alert. You need to be aware of what's taking place and what's going on. Lest, the warning goes on to say this in verse 17, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, hey, you fall from your own, look at that, your own what? Steadfastness. Now keep in mind that Peter had very much a reality of the truth of the world in which we're living in today. A world filled with false teachers. A world inundated by all kinds of things that false ideas that will lead you down the wrong road, who are out there wanting to influence you, wanting to lead you astray, wanting to undermine your faith, and basically to victimize the people of God. I mean, Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may what? Devour. And he uses vessels to do that. Just as God uses vessels to accomplish his work, Satan uses human vessels to accomplish his work. And our world is full of teachers and instructors and professors who would like to influence the young people across this nation, who certainly are out to lead them astray. And we have professors that are ungodly men, who are atheistic and agnostic, and who really hate God, and really want to destroy the faith of our young people. They're found in every secular college and university campus around this nation, none excluded. That's not to put them all in that category. I'm just saying there are those who are ungodly, and there are those that are out to undermine the faith of young people, and the statistics are there to show us that many professing Christian young people that end up going to secular colleges and universities abandon their faith. That's true. That's true. And Peter's issuing a warning. Well, watch out for those kind of people. Lest you fall. Fall from your own what? Steadfastness. Your own steadfastness. Your own steadfastness. And now, Tyrone, I want you to understand, you will especially be vulnerable, son, because you're going to a secular campus, and there's going to be a lot of adversity there toward Christianity and toward the things of God. And Alyssa, I want you to understand that although you go to a Christian college and you don't have to worry about facing professors that are seeking to undermine your faith, but I do want you to understand, Alyssa, that there will be some fellow students that are not Christians. And there will be some fellow students that do not embrace the same viewpoints as you have been taught, and who will seek to influence you and bring you to where they are. Now, every Christian, not just the Listen Tyrone, every Christian has a need to be steadfast Christians. Every last one of us. So don't just think that this is nice, this is for Tyrone, this is Alyssa. No, this is for every last one of us. I mean, we have an enemy who's out to undermine our faith and who is out to undermine our stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's about time the Christians rose up to their feet and learned how to be steadfast Christians. That we stood up and we were counted in this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Truth of the matter is, we've got the truth. We've got the God up in heaven. Truth of the matter is, we're the ones that are to be light and salt in this world, and we are letting the devil have it hand and foot. Just being intimidated by what's going on in our world instead of just standing for the truth and letting God be the one who defends us. I mean, if the Lord doesn't defend us, we're dead ducks anyhow. Isn't that true? That's right. But what's he say in 2 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9? For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole what? Earth. To show himself what? Strong. Well, I don't want God showing himself strong on my behalf, don't you? It says to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose hearts are perfect toward him. We've got to have a perfect heart toward the Lord. Toward the Lord. Toward the Lord. So what's it take to be a steadfast Christian? Well, number one, you've got to be sound in the faith. You've got to be sound in the faith. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you're going to be a steadfast Christian, oh, don't fall from your steadfastness. There's going to be all kinds of false teaching. There's going to be all kinds of people who are going to seek to influence you, undermine you, rob your faith, take it away from you. Well, you've got to be sound in the faith. 2 Timothy chapter 4, page 1280, if you would, please. If you're going to be a steadfast Christian, you've got to be sound in the faith. That means this. You've got to know what this book says, and that's where you stand. That's what it means to be sound in the faith. To be sound in the faith, first of all, you have to have a knowledge of what this book says. And then secondly, you just have to make up your mind, if that's what the book says, then that's what's right. And that's God's truth. And if God says it, I believe it. That settles it. Doesn't matter who else comes along and says anything else. I'm just planted on the Word of God. That's what it means to be sound in the faith. Now here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, God gives us a warning about the days in which you and I would be living. And we are living in dark days. And we are living in desperate days. And we are living in the days where people, and I'm talking about Christian people, who are not taking seriously the faith. They're not taking seriously the faith. And as a result, many of them are losing it. They're not sound in the faith. Notice what God tells us here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. The Bible says, for the time will come when they will not endure, look at this, sound what? Doctrine. And I just want to say, the time is here. It's here. Now, when Timothy wrote that, or Paul wrote that to Timothy, it was coming. But we're living in the days where it's all around us. I mean, it is all around us. You look back over church history in America, and you look at the churches, the denominations that once stood solid on various Bible issues, and look at where they're at today. It is absolutely frightening. In fact, it is absolutely scary to look around and see the apostasy that has transpired across this nation in professing Christian churches. I mean, if the churches don't have the faith, how can they give the people the faith? You can't. Let's look on what it says. And they shall turn away their ears, let me go back to verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, their own desires, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching what? Ears. That means they'll listen to people who say the things that they want to hear rather than things that they need to hear. No preacher is worth his salt who tells you what you want to hear. If all he does is stand up and tell the people from in his church what they want to hear, he's not worth an inch of salt. He's not worth a quarter's worth of salt. He's not worth a box of salt. Our calling is not to tell people what they want to hear. Our calling is to tell people what the Word of God has to say. Now, whether people like it or not is between them and God, not them and the preacher. And whether people believe it or not is between them and God, not them and the preacher. But the preacher's responsibility is to preach the word. Look at verse 2. Notice what he says. Preach the what? Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? The time will come, and has come, when people will no longer endure sound doctrine after their own desires, their own lust. Shall they heap themselves, teachers having itching ears? Now look at the result of this. And this is what has happened in our churches across this nation. And they shall turn their ears away from the what? Truth. And they're turned unto what? My friend, that's happened all across this nation. We got God's people who don't know what they believe. They don't know why they believe it. And if you're going to be sound in the faith, Tyrone and Alyssa and church, if you're going to be sound in the faith, you got to know what the book says. You got to know what the book says, and you got to stand on it. You got to stand on it. You got to know what it says, and you got to stand on it. Now, Tyrone and Alyssa, I want you to understand here this morning that if verse 4 ever happens to you, if you ever turn away your ears from the truth that you've been taught here in this ministry, I want you to know it'll break our hearts. But I want you to know further, it'll break God's heart. It'll break God's heart. You got to know what you believe. You got to know why you believe it. You got to line up with the Word of God where the Word of God speaks. Chapter 3 and verse 16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's the Scripture that is profitable for, what's the word? And that's your teaching. That's what you believe. Doctrine is teaching. Doctrine is belief. What we believe is doctrine. And it's the Word of God that's profitable for our doctrine. The Word of God is profitable for our doctrine. So we're going to be sound in the faith, church. Alyssa, Tyrone, you're going to be sound in the faith? Oh, if you're going to be steadfast Christians, you've got to be sound. You've got to know what the book says, and that's where you got to line up. That's where you got to stand. Listen, if you're going to be a steadfast Christian, you can't be flip-floppy. That's number 2. You can't be flip-floppy. Can't be flip-floppy. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would please, to your left. You know what it means to be flip-floppy. Page 1253. Book of Ephesians chapter 4. I was down at the mall yesterday afternoon for just a few minutes. And as I was there, I went in real quickly to pick something up and to leave. I walked through Sears because it was a nightmare. You know how the mall is on Saturdays. You're insane to go down there on Saturday. I was insane. I went down there. And so I parked by Sears just to make it easy. That's not where I wanted to go, but that was the easiest. That, you know, I don't know what's about Sears. People don't like to shop there. I don't know, but you know, just park there real easy, get in there. And as I'm cutting through Sears, you know, there's this lady in front of me, you know, and she's walking in front of me, and you can hear it, flip-flop, 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 you know. You get those old flip-flops on, you know what happens, you know, you know. And I don't think this lady realized what she was doing, you know. She's just making noise, going, you know. I'm thinking, if you knew how you sat in those things, I don't know if you'd wear those things. But, you know, you flip-flop back and what? Forward. That's why it's going, you know. Coming down, hitting the floor, coming up, hitting her foot. Don't know what was the loudest, foot or the floor. But anyhow, doesn't matter, all right? Flip-flopping back and forth. Listen, if you're going to be a steadfast Christian, you can't flip-flop in your beliefs. You can't flip-flop in your beliefs. If you aren't settled in your faith, doubt, denial, and outright unbelief will get you in a heartbeat. It'll get you in a heartbeat. You've got to be settled in your faith. Can't be tossed to and fro. See, there are some Christians who are no stronger than the last preacher they heard. Did you hear it? There are some Christians who are no stronger than the last preacher they heard. You see, they're like what Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 14 describes. In Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 14, it says that we henceforth be no more children. It's talking about growing up. It's talking about maturing. And he goes on, he says, no more children. Look at this. How are children? Tossed to and what? And carried about with every wind of doctrine. Now, aren't children tossed to and fro? Don't they struggle to make up their minds? One moment they're going this direction, next moment they're going the next direction, next moment they're going another direction. The Lord says, don't be children, be like children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of what? Doctrine. By the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they wait. Look at this. They lie in what? They're just waiting to get you. And they lie in wait, the verse says, they lie in wait to do what? To deceive. Don't think that deceivers aren't out to bring you into their fold, because they are. So if you're going to be a steadfast Christian, you're going to be sound in the faith. Number two, you can't be flip-floppy. You can't be flopping back and forth. Well, this guy says over here, and he sounded pretty good, and I think that's what's right. And then a week later, you hear somebody says just the opposite, and, well, he sounds pretty good, and that must be right, and you're flip-flopping back and forth. God's Word does not change. What God teaches in His Word does not change. You don't go back and forth between positions. You look in the Word of God and say, what is God's position, and that's where you line up if you're going to be a steadfast Christian. You got to be sound in the faith, first of all. Number two, you can't be flip-floppy. You cannot be flip-floppy. You cannot be flip-floppy. So, Alyssa and Tyrone, be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful of being carried away, as the verse says, by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to what? Deceive. They want to get you. And then number three, if you're going to be a steadfast Christian, you have to be equipped to give answers. 1 Peter chapter 3, please. 1 Peter chapter 3. If you're going to be a steadfast Christian, you've got to be equipped to give answers. Can't be a steadfast Christian if you're not equipped to give answers. You've got to be sound in the faith. Can't be wishy-washy going back between various viewpoints. And number three, you've got to be equipped to give answers. Equipped to give answers. Now, 1 Peter chapter 3 tells us this, page 1314. Page 1314. In 1 Peter chapter 3, notice if you would please, in verse 15. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, the Bible says this. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready when? Always. And notice what we're to be ready for. We are to be ready always, the Bible says, to give an answer to every man then asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So if you're going to be a steadfast Christian, you have to be equipped to give answers. You have to be equipped to give answers. Now, one of the wonderful things about studying the Bible is to realize that God does have the answers to the questions of men. And that's one of the thrilling things about reading the Bible and studying the Bible. As you read the Word of God, as you study the Bible, you know what? You realize this book has answers to the questions of men. You know, people, they throw these questions at you and they think, boy, there's no answer for that one. Well, you're that, man. You think we're the guys that have our heads stuck in the sand. You're the ones got your head stuck in the sand. God's Word has answers. And you know, God doesn't mind you asking. He doesn't mind you asking. That is, if you want to know. Look over in Isaiah chapter 1, please. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. In Isaiah chapter 1, page 714, notice if you would please, in Isaiah chapter 1, I want you to look with me in verse 18. Isaiah chapter 1, page 714, God isn't afraid of anyone's questions. In fact, He invites us to come and reason with Him. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, notice what the Word of God says. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. So what's the invitation of God? Let's come what? Let's come reason with Him. Let's come reason with Him. And He goes on and He says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So God does not mind us reasoning with Him. God does not mind us asking questions. The Word of God does have the answers to the questions of men. What God does mind is people who ask questions who really don't want the answers. Now those people are fools. Look over in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 12. And there are plenty of folks like that in the world. They ask questions, but they don't ask questions for the purpose of knowing the answer. They don't want the answer. Those people are fools. The book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 12, page 680, let's look at two verses in the book of Proverbs, please. And in Proverbs chapter 12, look in verse 15. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, notice this. Here's the guy that knows it all. You ever met anybody like that? Huh? Come on now. Have you ever met anyone that knows it all? Huh? They've got all the answers, right? Well, look at what God says about this guy. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15, the way of a fool is right. But where is it right? In his own eyes. In his own eyes. You know, anybody can be right in their own eyes and be totally wrong. You realize that? Pastor Silas this morning in Sunday school was talking about Brooke being convinced that Will stole her candy bar. Will took my candy bar. Will took my candy bar. This was just an illustration, Brooke. Don't worry about it, okay? Brooke's saying, I don't have a candy bar. Nobody took it. I didn't have it to begin with, all right? But Pastor Silas is using this illustration in Sunday school this morning about, you know, Brooke being convinced that Will had taken her candy bar. And, you know, she had a candy bar, it was missing, and sure enough, she had no evidence for the fact that Will took it. She was just convinced in her mind, Will took it. Will took it. You know, a lot of folks are just like that. You realize that? They're convinced in their mind. And as Pastor Silas pointed out, and she's dead wrong. And you know what? They're dead wrong. Look what the verse says. The way of a fool is right in his own what? But he that hardeneth unto what? His what? Better listen to others. Better listen to others. Look over in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 7, one of our students gave me this verse Friday night in a little note they wrote to me. And in Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 7, notice what it says. The Bible says, be not wise in thine own what? Eyes. When people of this world think they've got all the answers, you know what they're being? Wise in their own what? But you know what the verse goes on to say? Don't stop reading the verse, because it tells us what to do. Don't be wise in your eyes, but do what? Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord and depart from what? And if you fear the Lord, you know what you're going to do? You're going to listen to the answers that God gives. You're going to respect His wisdom. You're going to respect His knowledge. You're going to respect His truth. For God's word is truth. Oh, you'll respect that. Be a wise person. Be a wise person and listen to God. So a steadfast Christian is a Christian who's equipped. He's equipped with the Word of God. He's able to take the Word of God and answer people's questions. And Tyrone, no, listen, I pray that all these years that you've sat in our church, I mean, Alyssa's sat in our church for 13 years now. And Tyrone, how long have you been here? You haven't been quite here 13 years, 7 years, 8 years. Carlton, you know how long? 9 years. All right, a little bit longer than I thought. All right, been here 9 years. And you know, Tyrone, Alyssa, I pray that all these years you've been here, I mean, 13 years for Alyssa and 9 years for Tyrone, and you've sat and you've listened to the Word of God proclaimed from this pulpit. I pray that all those messages and all those truths you've been caught from the Word of God, you haven't sat here and just let them roll right over your head. Because that's exactly what could have happened. I hope and pray that you've paid attention. I hope and pray that you've got yourself in the conversations about the things that you've learned. I hope and pray that you've marked your Bibles. I hope and pray that you're able to take what you've been shown and you're able to do it to others. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Don't be afraid of the conversations. Don't walk away from the questions. Jump in there. Take your stand for God. He'll be strong for you if your heart's perfect toward Him. And there's one more thing about being a steadfast Christian. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You're going to be a steadfast Christian. You're going to be sound in the faith. Remember that, sound in the faith. Can't be flip-floppy. Can't be flip-floppy. You got to have the answers. You got to be prepared to share the answers with others. And then number four, if you're going to be a steadfast Christian, 1 Corinthians 15, please, page 1228. If you're going to be a steadfast Christian, you got to learn to stand where God stands and you don't budge. You stand where God stands and you don't budge. You don't budge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would please, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, notice what it tells us in verse 58. The Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye, here it is, here's our word, be what? Steadfast. You plant your feet. You plant your feet on the Word of God, and that's where you stand. Be steadfast. Be on what? Movable. And then it goes on to say, be always what? Abounding. And what are we to be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding about? Well, the Bible says, in the work of the Lord. The Lord's got a work for you to do. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And then in chapter 16, if you would please, couple that verse with chapter 16 and verse 13, where it says, watch ye, stand fast in the what? Faith, and quit you like men. Stand where God stands and don't budge. Stand where God stands and don't budge. Be sound in the faith. Don't flip-flop between all the voices you hear going on. Be able to give an answer to every man. And you stand. You stand. Now, standing for God is not as easy as those words sound. It's not as easy to stand for God than what it seems. Because there's a lot of things in this world that will try to get you to change that position, to compromise that position. And there are things inside your life that you'll struggle with in this issue of taking the stand for God. Because listen to me, Tyrone and Melissa. Do you like losing friends? Do either one of you like losing friends? No. And isn't there something inside of us that wants to have friends? Isn't there? Yeah, that's okay. Talk to me. Right. There's something in every one of us that wants to have what? Friends. And none of us like losing what? Friends. But if you stand for what's right and where God wants you to stand, you know what you're going to do? You're going to lose friends. But I want everybody to like me. That's the preacher who's not worth his salt, who tells the people everything they want to hear instead of what the Word of God says. He just has to have everybody to like him. But what is true of the preacher can also be said of the person in the pew. But I just want everybody around me to like me. I want everybody around me to like me. So therefore, you don't take your stand where you need to stand. See, there's a lot of things that can be in our lives that can be stumbling blocks to our standing for God. You know, we want popularity. We want acceptance. We want personal profit. We want personal gain. You know, we want to be accepted by the crowd. We want friendships. We want relationships. Yeah. There's a difference between a friendship and a relationship, isn't there? And all those things can cause us not to stand where God wants us to stand. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, if you would please. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 the first admonition is to be a steadfast Christian. And church, that's where we all need to be. Not just Alyssa, not just Tyrone, but every last one of us need to be steadfast Christians. Now, the second admonition is found in verse 18. Look in verse 18. Verse 18 says this. Verse 18 says, but what? Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So the first admonition is, don't let this wrong influence that's out in the world, those people that are spoken of in verse 16, who wrestle with the Scriptures to their own destruction, want to influence you away from God to cause you to fall from your own steadfastness. And in contrast, be a steadfast Christian and be a growing Christian. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, to grow in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ is to become more like Jesus. It's to become more like Jesus. To become more like Jesus. Now, I understand that no one can become like Jesus until he first knows Jesus. It all starts with salvation, does it not? It all starts with a birth. I mean, think about it in a physical sense. You know, your child doesn't start growing until birth. Birth takes place. All of a sudden, now child's ready to start what? Growing, right? Now, I understand that life begins at conception. So I understand that. And I understand that there's growth inside the woman's womb. I understand that. But, you know, our kids here can't relate. They don't understand that. Okay? You follow me? I'm not negating that. I'm not saying life doesn't begin at conception, because it does. Amen? Fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God. That is not a fetus in that woman's womb. That is a human being. Amen? That's right. Doctors may want to call it a fetus just because they'd like to depersonalize it, and therefore it's okay to expose it, like you expose of it, like you expose of your garbage, but that's murder. That's taking a person's life. So I understand that. But for sake of illustration, just for the illustration, your child is born, now your child's ready to what? To grow, right? So you have to have that birth before you have the growth that takes place. Well, for spiritual growth to take place, you know what's got to start first? You start with a birth. You're born again of the Spirit of God. Here this morning, are you born again? Have you come to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for you on the cross of Calvary to be your way to heaven? Well, if you have, then the birth has transpired. And look over at one verse with me about this just real quickly. Over in 1 Peter, we're close by. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're in 1 Peter chapter 1. It speaks about this birth, and I won't go into a lot of detail about this morning. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, notice it says in verse 23, it says, being born again, not of what? Corruptible seed, but of what? Incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth, how long? Forever. So we're born again of the seed of the Word of God. Isn't that exciting? And the seed of the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. You know how long your spiritual birth is going to be in existence? If the Word of God, if you're born again of the Spirit of God, which liveth and abideth forever, how long is your spiritual birth going to live and abide? Woo-hoo. You with me? Are you sleeping? It's going to abide how long? Forever. Then they go right back to where we were at last Sunday. Once we're saved, safe, and secure for how long? Forever. Now, the birth has taken place You've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Now it's time to what? It's time to grow. And what does God want us to do? Going back to 2 Peter chapter 3, it says that we are to grow in grace. We are to grow in grace. Growing in grace is becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. It's becoming more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And it begins at that spiritual birth. There's a process. You know, my wife was sharing with our students this week that, you know, Christ didn't just save you to save you from hell. Yes, he did save you to save you from hell, but there's a whole lot more that he wants to do than just save you from hell, which is true. And, you know, one of those things is to process us into the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we Christians become more and more like the Lord Jesus. Now, Alyssa came to experience that spiritual birth when she was 4 or 5. 4. 4 years of age. She came to Vacation Bible School. And in Mrs. Reese's Vacation Bible School class, I believe it was, right? And she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior at 4 years of age, and she experienced that spiritual birth in her life. Tyrone, how old were you when you trusted Christ? I know you were older than that because you were coming to our church 9, okay? 9 years of age, all right? And Tyrone trusted Christ. Did you trust Christ that night in your living room? Was that when you trusted Christ or sometime later on? Miss Shepherd's Sunday School class, all right? Good, all right? I just remember sitting down in your basement room there and talking to you about the Lord. So good. So Tyrone trusted Christ as his Savior in Mrs. Scheffler's Sunday school room when he was 9 years of age. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. Amen? That's thrilling and that's exciting. Now, Alyssa and Tyrone, I want to ask you a question. Since you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, back when you did it, to now, have you become more like Jesus? See, that's growing in grace. That's growing in grace. And one of life's greatest tragedies is people who get saved, who trust Christ as Savior. But as they go on through life, they become less loving, less kind, less generous, less gentle, less self-controlled, less faithful as time goes on. Because God says just the opposite should be true. We're to be growing in grace. And the verse goes on to say not only growing in grace, but we're to be growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that just simply means what it says. We are to be an ongoing, ever-increasing, deeper understanding of the person of Christ and what he's done on our behalf. Just ever growing in that. Ever increasing in that. Yeah, I thought I could know all that I know about the Lord Jesus at this point in time of my life. No. No, it's growing. There's always room to grow more. There's always more to learn about the Lord Jesus. There's always an increasing knowledge and understanding of the person Christ. It's knowing of Christ. It's knowing about Christ. And I listen to Tyrone. Do you have that type of ongoing growing knowledge? I think our entire church needs to listen to Peter's admonitions. Instead of being debunked by false teachers who wrestle with the Scriptures to their own destruction, Peter's saying, be steadfast Christians. And number two, he's saying, be growing Christians. Be growing Christians. And by the way, that ought to be on the agenda of every child of God. What's on your agenda of things to do? Grow in the grace and knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That ought to be on all of our agenda. Because as you think about this verse, as we think about the beginning of that verse, it says, but grow in grace. Can you say that with me? But grow in grace. That phrase, grow in grace, in the Greek language in which the New Testament was written, is a present imperative verb tense. What's that mean? That means this. It means Peter is saying, keep on growing! Keep on growing! Keep on growing! You see, it's not that we get to a point in our Christian lives where we're static. We've reached the epitome of where we ought to be. No, the Christian life is never stationary. The Christian life is never static. If you're not growing, you know what's happening? You're shrinking. You're shrinking. So if growth is not taking place, If spiritual growth is not taking place, spiritual shrink is. Spiritual shrink is. Now, what does it take to be a growing Christian? What does it take to be a growing Christian? Let me give you this quickly here this morning. What does it take to be a growing Christian? And I'm just going to illustrate this. I think a good way to help you understand, what does it take to be a growing Christian? Because we're all going to be growing. Do you see Peter's thrust? That verb tense, action. That imperative tense, it's continuous action. Keep on growing, keep on growing, keep on growing, keep on growing. So what does it take to be a growing Christian? Let me illustrate it in this sense. And I'm going to use the laws of physical and emotional development of a child to give you a little insight into our spiritual development. If you have a child and that child needs to grow, right? I mean, we've got Will here. Stand up, Will. Quick. Come help me out. Brooke, come on, over here. Quick. Need your help. Caleb, will you help me out? Come on. All right. Daylen, help me out. What? Jordan, help me out. Christopher, are you awake? Help me out. Okay. All you guys stand up here. All right. Come on, Christopher. All right. Oh, all I got is guys. Christy, come help me out. Let me have a girl. Oh, she's going to feel out of place. Sierra, come help me out. Come on. Come on, Christopher. Hurry. Quick. Come on, Sierra. You're not shy. You're not timid. You always have something to say. There we go. All right. Now, if you have a child, and we've got a slew of them here, right? I'm like the old woman in the shoe. Had so many kids, I didn't know what to do. All right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right. Hey, great. Number 7 is a good number in the Bible. I've got 7 children here, and what do my children need? They need to grow. Now, Caleb, he's a pretty young fella. You know? He's a little dude. You know what Caleb needs? He needs to grow. Right, Caleb? Good. All right. He said yes, if you didn't hear that. You know, Will's a little bit older than Caleb. And he's looking pretty, you know, he's pretty filled out here, guy, all right? And but yet, he's a child. What does he need? He needs to grow. He needs to develop, does he not? Daylen's the oldest of all of them up here. And but Daylen, you can still stand to do what? Grow. He needs to what? He needs to grow. And here's my shy guy. Come right up here. He doesn't know what's going on with him. Jordan, you okay? That's okay, Jordan. I'll stand by you, all right? Jordan's up here, and he doesn't know what's going on. But, you know, he's just a little kid, right? Just a little guy. What's Jordan need to do? Jordan needs to grow. Christopher, poor guy, little short guy here. You know, I don't know what you did to him, all right? But he needs to what? He needs to grow. Christy. She's always growing. she's a young lady. She's a little girl. What's she need to do? Grow. And Sierra, oh my goodness, she was a preemie. And ever since, she has just been in the process of growing. She can't get enough food. Don't talk about, you know, my guys eat me out of house and home. It's my girl eats me out of house and home. Sierra's got that high metabolism, don't you, Sierra? You like food. That's right. She can't even wait to get home to eat. She has to eat in the car on the way home, and then she eats dinner after she gets home. So this is Sierra, all right? She's got to grow. Now, we've got all these children up here. Think about their natural development. They all need to what? Grow. What's one thing that they need to grow? They've got to have, number one, nourishment. Nourishment. You guys can sit down, okay? Thank you so much. You did a great job. You need to have nourishment. You're not going to grow as a Christian without nourishment. Look over. Let's look at a verse on this real quickly. In 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would please, go back to the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 2, every child needs nourishment to grow. If the child does not get nourishment, the child is not going to properly develop and grow. Isn't that true, church? Isn't that true? That's right. If the child does not get proper nourishment, they're not going to properly develop, they're not going to properly grow. That's why when that child is born, you just don't feed the kid, put Coke in the bottle and just grow the kid on Coke. That's all the kid gets. not that I'm against Coke. It's just not the right nourishment for a child. Correct? Isn't that right? And you all understand that. No matter how much you like Coke, you just have to admit that, right? Right? Come on now. Should I have said Pepsi? I'm in the South. Yes, all right. Well, what's our nourishment? It's the Word of God. And 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it says this, as newborn babes, we are to desire the what? Sincere milk of the Word, that we may what? Grow thereby. You know what it takes to have growth in our lives? It takes the Word of God. The nourishment of the Word of God. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, don't have time to turn there. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So if you and I are going to grow, listen, Tyrone, you're going to be growing. Church, we're going to be growing. We've got to have, number one, we've got to have what? Nourishment. Number two, I'm going to keep using this illustration of the child throughout the whole thing. A child needs exercise. A child needs exercise. If the child does not get proper exercise, is that child going to properly develop? The answer is what? No. You take a child and you put a child in a room and that child never leaves the room. It stays in that room. Is that child going to properly develop? No, because there's not proper what? Exercise. There's got to be proper exercise for proper development of a child to take place. Well, as a Christian, we've got some exercise that has to take place in our lives. And here it is. Our exercise is an obedient walk and a willing service. An obedient walk and willing service. If we're going to grow as Christians, we've got to have the nourishment of the Word of God. We have to have an obedient walk to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. What is keeping his commandments? That's obedience, isn't it? That's an obedient walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And James chapter 1 and verse 22 commands us, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers what? Only. An obedient walk is our exercise. A willing service. Jesus is looking for servants. John 12:26. If any man serve me, let him what? Follow me. That where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. But you know what kind of servants Jesus is looking for? He's looking for willing servants. He's looking for Romans 12:1 servants. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves. You give yourselves in service to Jesus Christ. He's looking for willing servants. And I tell you, he's looking for willing servants for the great harvest of this world, the harvest of all souls that need to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to exercise ourselves if we're going to grow spiritually. See, what does it take? We've got to have nourishment. We've got to have exercise. Number three, a child needs communication. Child needs communication. Your child will never develop properly if you do not clearly communicate with your child. It's not going to happen. Child needs communication. Hey, listen, the Christian needs communication. Communication with his Heavenly Father. Communication with his Heavenly Father. We hear God talking to us as we read our what? Bibles. But we talk to God in what? Prayer. And we need to learn to have an ongoing dialogue and prayer with God. And then number four, a child needs a friend. A child needs a friend. If that child is going to develop properly, he needs a friend. Now, by the word friend, I do not necessarily mean someone other than a parent. I do not mean that. I do not mean that. So just get that out of your heads. My child's going to have a friend. Where am I going to get a friend? Parents, you qualify. You qualify. See, what I mean by that is this. If I could have thought of a different word, I'd have thought of it, but I didn't. But what I mean by it is this. There's got to be someone that he or she associates with that helps him or her to grow. To grow into a childhood, to grow into adolescence, to grow on into adulthood. You see, every Christian is to be a growing Christian. And every Christian needs the support and fellowship, the friends of a local church body. You can't grow without it. That's why God tells us in His Word not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, 2 Peter chapter 3, I've got to close. Go back to 2 Peter chapter 3, if you would, please. God's giving us a wonderful admonition to be steadfast Christians, to be growing Christians. And Tyrone and Alyssa, as we thought about this here this morning, we want you to know that we love you. We want you to know that we will be praying for you. We would like to be able to say, like the Apostle Peter, as both of you go off, and as you quote unquote get out on your own, and you begin to sprout your wings of independence, if we can see you, if we as a church can see you being steadfast Christians, and we can see you being growing Christians, then we as a church will be able to join the Apostle Peter by saying at the end of verse 18, to Him, to Christ, be what? Both now and forever. Amen. So Alyssa and Tyrone, to the Christ who has saved you, the Christ who has forgiven you, the Christ who has given you a home up in heaven, the Christ who has done more for you than anyone on this earth could ever possibly do, may your life be to His glory, both now and forever. And church, if you would agree with that, would you say amen? Let's pray. Tyrone and Alyssa, come up here. I'd like to pray with you. Let's stand together, church. This is how we're going to close our service this morning. You know we love you. I'll give you a hug too. You know we love you too, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, let's pray. Father, we come this morning and we pray for Tyrone, we pray for Alyssa. We thank you for them. We thank you, Lord, that they know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. We thank you, Lord God, that they've taken some important steps in their life now as they're graduating from high school. And Lord, we pray for their future. We pray for that admonition that we find Peter closing that epistle with, to be steadfast and to be growing. And Father, I pray that Tyrone and Alyssa would be steadfast Christians. Help them to be sound in the faith, Lord God. Help them not to be flip-flopping back and forth. Oh, Father, I pray that you would help them to take what they've been taught and be able to give those answers to every man that's going to ask them, the reason of the hope that's in them with meekness and fear. And Father, we look to you and we pray, Lord God, that they would be firm and steadfast for you, regardless of the cost that it might cost them, Lord God, that they would realize that loyalty to you is so more important than what they might desire, even in their own lives. And then, Father, I pray that they would be growing Christians, Lord, that they would exercise themselves in those spiritual realities, Lord, spending time with you in your word, spending time with you in prayer, Lord, of talking to others about the Lord Jesus Christ, and exercising themselves in the life of obedience and willing service. Oh, Father, we look to you and we pray for them here this morning. Protect them from evil and from the evil one. And Lord God, we pray that their lives as they leave here, as they spread their wings, would be such, Lord, of their own choosing, of their own path, of their own determination, would be such, Lord, that we would look at them and be able to say in years to come, to God be the glory, to God be the glory, to Christ, to the Christ who has saved them, to the Christ who has forgiven them, to the Christ who has given them a home up in heaven, be glory, both now and forever. And we all said, amen.